It's great to have you all with us here today. Did you know that this is a Labor Day weekend? I'm so encouraged that all of you are sitting here. You could have chosen to be almost anywhere, but instead, here you are, or here you are online, we hope. And, you know, you've chosen to be here, and that's really encouraging to me, because here's why. As you're here, as you're worshiping, as you are listening to God's word, you are drawing near to God. And that's so encouraging because when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. So our participation today in all of this is encouraging to me. It's encouraging to all of us, I think, as a church, because if God is at work in your life, here's the thing, God is at work in the church. Did you know that? If God is at work in your life, God is at work in the church. I'm encouraged by your faith. I have had conversations this week as we've been talking about re-engaging for fall worship and outdoor worship and ministries. And so many of you are really looking forward to what's coming. Some of your students are looking forward to getting back into student ministry. Some of you have talked about this outdoor worship service all month. How exciting. It's nice to be out here, isn't it? This feels good. And I get to preach in a hat. Some of you are ready to join the church as new members. You kind of been waiting. You're ready to jump in. Some of you are just interested in coming back after, you know, all the summer and all the COVID and just being together again. I'm encouraged that we as a church are still committed to the mission of making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. So if you're new to all this today, or if you just showed up, or if you're online and you're feeling like, I don't know, I really don't feel like I'm a part of what's going on at Bethlehem Church, then I want you to know that you are part of what God is doing in this church. Here's why. The church isn't a building, right? We know that. We're not in the building today. We're out here. Followers of Jesus, we are the church. So when you're online worshiping, you are the church. When you are at work or starting classes this spring or fall, where are we? Fall, you are the church. Wherever you are as a Jesus follower, you are the church. And that means together we are the church. So say that with me. We are the church. That's right. If God is powerfully at work in your life, if God is doing a good work in you, if God is growing your faith, then I'm encouraged. God is powerfully at work in the church. So are you encouraged today? If you are, say, I'm encouraged. If you're not, just say, not yet. Then hold on, all right? Hold on. My hope today is that when we leave this place, something happens. Based on what the Bible says, my hope is that you come to a point of embracing a brand new gift that God has placed in you, either discovering it or committing to growing it and developing it for the whole church. Here's what I hope takes place. You and I are going to hear something in the Bible today that I believe is critical for our time. This whole letter has been great, but this was really critical. Far too often, this is also neglected in the church today. It's not new. Paul warned the people in Thessalonians about this 2,000 years ago. So I'm going to warn you up front. What we are going to read today isn't easy, not at all. What we hear might very well challenge you and I far more than we have ever been challenged before. It certainly does challenge me. If you follow Paul's teaching in this letter, like most of us, you're probably going to have to wade into unfamiliar spiritual territory. But if you're not content with the church as normal, here's the promise. If you're ready to see God move in supernatural ways and in the life of the church, if you want to experience the church in all of its potential and all of its power, and a church that powerfully impacts our communities with the good news of the gospel, then I hope you hold on, because God is drawing near today in supernatural power. God is drawing near. So we're going to start reading the letter in 1 Thessalonians. Paul writes to encourage and teach the church. So we're at the end of the letter in chapter 5. And if you're following along, it's chapter 12. Otherwise, I invite you to listen again. The apostle writes, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." And so, Lord God, we pray today that that might be the case for us. You will teach us, Lord, to hold on to what is good, to reject every kind of evil, and do your good work in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this part of Paul's teaching, if you've been with us, he addresses four areas of responsibilities in the church, areas to keep working on, areas to keep growing in. And this is important. The goal of all of this is that you and I would love each other more and more. Did you hear that? The whole goal of all this, that we would love each other more and more. Someone say more and more. That's right. In the church, we demonstrated that, loving each other more and more, by following through with our responsibilities. He lists four of them here. The first three are this: responsibilities to our leaders, to each other, and to ourselves. So we have a responsibility to our leaders, those who serve self-sacrificially in the Lord, to honor them, to respect them, to pray for them. You can read more about it in this letter or go online and catch some of the previous messages. We have responsibility to each other. The Apostle Paul, to love each other like you're doing. And you are, church. You are loving one another in amazing ways. The apostle says, now do it more and more. Do it till we're just like Jesus. You know, we're not going to do that until he returns completely, but we're working on it. We're working towards it more and more. So we have responsibilities then to ourselves. The apostle says that we are responsible to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, to work on that inner life that we have, to build our soul. That's our responsibility. And now the fourth one, the final responsibility, it seems unusual because it's probably not how you have experienced this. Paul describes it saying it's our responsibility to worship. Now, when we think about worship, what do you think about? You know, maybe coming together, thinking about the command and the Bible that says, you know, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, show up for Sunday morning services. You know, and while we're here, maybe online, we can pray, have communion when it's offered. We can give a tithe. We can sing. Some of us can sing. We can read the Bible. We can hear a message. You know, those are the kinds of things that we think about when we are thinking about our responsibility to worship. But Paul doesn't mention any of those in this letter. They're part of it, but he's more concerned with something else. Here's how he describes it. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. These, he says, are our worship responsibilities. So as I study this passage, I actually get a little nervous. Paul's describing the gathered church, the community coming together and allowing the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, that sounds a little chaotic. That sounds like, you know, not being able to go online on time or something like that. It means maybe our agenda gets messed up. But in theory, it kind of sounds wonderful, doesn't it? God, you can have your way with us. Here we are. Lord, do whatever you want to do in our lives. You know, root out the bad, bring in the good. Lord, I'm all yours. Here I am. Do it. So we want the Spirit of the living God to transform our hearts and minds and those around us, to do it however God wants to do, to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with the Lord. That's what we want. But in reality, that might not be what we planned when we came to worship today. So let me share an example. How long did you plan on sitting here today? Yeah, maybe an hour, right? Why an hour? Well, probably because that's what we normally do. Just to ease your concerns, that's what I plan on as well. So, you know, okay. All right. But what if God has other plans? Will you give me more than 60 minutes? So let's take it a little further. Do you have plans after worship today? Do you have plans after worship? I do. I plan on planting grass over there in those dirt spots. I plan on cleaning up the garage. It's kind of a mess. I plan on packing up some things for a short trip. So if you have plans today after worship, go ahead and tell somebody next to you. Tell somebody online. Write it in a comment. Tell somebody, what are your plans after worship today? Go ahead and share those. What are your plans? If you don't have any plans, come talk to me. No. So we have plans. What if God has other plans? Are you willing to change your plans today? Paul says, don't quench the spirit. You know, when you think about a candle burning and you squeeze the wick, you know, it pinches out the fire. It quenches the flame. That's the idea that Paul is talking about with do not quench the Holy Spirit's fire. He says, don't reject what the Holy Spirit is doing. Don't stop the gifts of the Spirit. So now this gets more challenging for us, because what if God has different plans than we expect? I want to illustrate with a personal story of drawing near to God, all good, to having a whole lot more spiritual potential, but this story gets weird. Ready for that? When I was 25, I encountered the Lord in a dramatic conversion experience. Now, you have to understand, this was after a whole year of saying no, no, no to the Lord, saying, no, I'm not going to be a follower of Jesus, no, until finally God got a hold of my heart in a dramatic way. The next week, I found myself in a charismatic prayer service. Now, if you know what that is, that's just people that, you know the gifts of the Spirit, that operate in that. You know, they minister in those gifts. Nothing I had ever experienced before. So they asked me if I wanted them to pray for me to receive tongues. I had no idea what tongues was, other than, you know, like something you cook in a store, you know, tongues. And I said, I don't know, do I? And they said, yeah, you do. I said, okay. And so the next 5 minutes was the weirdest experience that I have had up to that point in my spiritual journey. But you know, when it was all said and done, I received a gift of tongues and experienced the love of God in a powerful way that I had never experienced before. So within the next couple of weeks, I found myself in this worship service in a little church I'd never been in before, mostly with people I didn't know. And we were in this worship experience. There was a small band up there front. They were playing. And I found myself lost in worship. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I was just standing there. I closed my eyes, and I was just singing and worshiping like never before. And I just felt the presence of God in an amazing way. And sometime later, I opened my eyes. And it was really weird because I was the only person standing. Everyone else had sat down. Everyone else had stopped singing. Everyone else's eyes were glued on me as I was standing there like this, and they were completely content with it all. Here's my warning for us. I had no context for these spiritual gifts. I wasn't part of a church body, and I quickly drifted away, and it was years before I finally had good, sound, biblical teaching by Spirit-filled men and women who walked with me and helped me understand the gifting that God has given me and the call in my life, and that is to be a pastor. I believe the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica to tell the believers that they shouldn't have to go to a special seminar in order to be trained up in the Spirit. That's the work of the church. That's our work, to develop and work on our gifts, to minister to one another, that we might be loving more and more. So Paul says, stop putting out the Spirit's fire. So as I'm talking, chances are some of you are thinking, I've seen this before, this weird, charismatic kind of experience. Maybe some of you have experienced abuses of the Spirit. And in doing that, you come to the understanding that it's probably just safer not to do that kind of thing. If that's your experience, I want to speak to you right now. In the letter to Corinthians, Paul addresses spiritual abuses, and he works to correct them, but he does not tell them to stop using the gifts. In fact, he says the opposite: use them in a mature, correct way. And so how do we understand if we're using gifts in a mature, correct way? Well, are they encouraging one another? Are they building up the body? Are they strengthening us? Are they bringing unity? Let me ask you this. Do you need the spiritual gifts? Let me put it another way. Are you in need today of encouragement? I am. Are you in need of strengthening in your faith? Do you think we're in need of being brought together in unity? That is the work of the Spirit. That isn't something we do on our own as the church. It's a Holy Spirit supernatural experience as God is at work. So God has equipped us to be a transforming influence in our world and through the gifts. Paul writes in a letter to the Corinthians, listen to how these could be used. To one there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. So you know what I get out of that passage? Each one of us has a spiritual gift for the building up of the church. Every one of us, as a believer in Jesus, has a spiritual gift for the building up of the church. Now, many of you know that. Many of you are exercising that. Some of you here today are just hearing this for the first time. And this is an exciting time for the church as God is beginning to open our eyes to how he has equipped us to minister. Paul says, stop putting out the Spirit's fire. See, the church needs your spiritual gift. We ought to be all telling ourselves, my gift is needed. Say that with me. My gift is needed. Say it one more time. My gift is needed. So if somebody has the gift of shade, they could use some over here. You guys doing okay? Good. You're looking so bright. We need the spiritual gifts. So there's a story in the book of Acts when the church was just getting rolling. The spirit-filled followers of Jesus are directed by the Holy Spirit's prophecy. Luke records it. He writes this. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up through the Spirit, predicted that severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Paul. So this is huge for the church. Not that a famine was predicted, although that's pretty cool. What was really huge was that the church was then able to respond in a loving manner to help out those in need, to love their brothers and sisters. After 2012 and the ensuing years here in our communities, in our agricultural communities, you know, things were pretty good. It was good times, you might say. But the years following that were not, and leading up to now, it's kind of a difficult time, right? Margins are short. You know, people are wondering if we're going to be able to continue on. A few years ago, there was a person who brought a word of encouragement, a prophetic word for the church. And the word was this: it's not going to be as good as it was, but it's going to be enough. It's not going to be as good as it was, but it's going to be enough. Now, for those who were struggling with what was going to happen in the future, that was an encouraging word. God's going to provide enough. For the church, it was an encouraging word because it reminded us that we could continue doing our mission and ministry, recognizing that God is going to provide enough. And he has, through you, through your generosity. See, God is at work through the gifts in the church. So, Lord, give me the gift of finding out where I was. When I was preparing this message, I was thinking about, you know, some fuzzy spiritual charismatic experiences, and, you know, that seemed kind of weird. And some of you might think, well, that's just normal for you, Pastor Tim. And sometimes it is. Let me tell you what a prophetic gift is. It's for the strengthening and the building up of the church in love. That's how we know a gift is prophetic. If you find yourself needing strengthening, or if you find yourself, you know, strengthening others, you might have that gift. If you find yourself, you know, feeling like God has given you a word of encouragement for someone, and that's just your thing, you just know what to say in the right time for someone, you might have a prophetic gift. If God is showing you and directing you on how to, I think the wind's blowing my pages here. If God is directing you how to bring comfort to someone, if you can walk into a situation and you know that your presence has brought comfort to someone, you may have a prophetic gift. And I want to encourage you, if you think that gift might be part of your gifting, then the church needs your gift. But let me tell you what a prophetic gift is not. If it's a gift that inspires fear and division, it's not from God. That's something else. Prophecy is not defined by an unhealthy interest in conspiracy theories. That's not prophecy that builds up the church. There's a fine line sometimes in understanding what's from God and what's not. Paul says that we need to be able to understand what's true and what's not. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. How do we know? By their fruit. By their fruit. By the outcome of their work. So we need this supernatural guidance. We need this encouragement in the church. We need the gift of prophecy, and we need to know what's true or not. And that's the work of the church. So it's bringing those gifts, whether we completely recognize them or not, bringing them forward to the church and allowing the church to understand, to discern, to decide if it's from God or not. So how do we know if it's true or not? By the fruit. By the outcome. Does it build up the church in love? Does it honor Jesus? Does it result in loving each other more and more? Those are key understandings to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on. Say hold on. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. In his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Cimbala writes, if God is real, and you truly want his help in your life, then go his way. Otherwise, do what you like. But he says, of course, it will destroy you in the end. You can't change God's consequences any more than you can change the law of gravity. Hold on. Somebody say, hold on. Hold on to what is good. I see a familiar post in social media these days. It says something like this. To all my friends, I'm taking a social media break. Maybe you've written this one. I've had too much of the hatred and division I see posted every day. I can't take it anymore. Does anybody feel that way? You know, if you do, I'm encouraged. I really am. I'm encouraged that you actually do feel that way because you realize that God intends something far better for us. We can reject the hatred and division and tearing down, and we can draw near to God and his power and potential for building up the church and for loving each other more and more as we strive to be all that God intends for the church. We are people who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called as people to build one another up. We are called as the church to encourage, to strengthen, to uplift one another, that we might be the people of God, sharing the love of God in a world that desperately needs it. We are called to bring unity where there is division by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, in me, in us together. We are to hold on to what is good. We are to reject every kind of evil. So if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Today, you have gifts for the church. It's going to require that you venture in with us into unfamiliar spiritual territory. There's nothing normal about a life in the Spirit, but we embrace the spiritual gifts that build up a called church in order to love each other. And we're called to experience the power and potential of what God has for us. Go ahead. To be Spirit-filled, supernaturally gifted followers of Jesus who impact our communities for good. See, God has a change of plans for the church today. He is drawing near. We're called to hold on. The best is yet to come. So, Lord, we come before you today, and we do want you to have your way with us. Lord, we all have plans following worship today, but maybe today you are going to alter those plans. Deal with us, Lord, as we know you know how to deal with us. Show us how to hold on to what is good. Lord, help us to reject every kind of evil and to know the difference. Lord, help us to draw near to you in this season as you draw near to us. And Lord, where we have put out the Spirit's fire, Lord, forgive us. As a church, Lord, where we have diminished the gifts, forgive us. And Lord, let us allow your spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. Lord, give us boldness to speak and use the gifts you have given us so we can love more and more. For those who are maybe new to all this, who maybe aren't getting these spiritual gifts or even don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you today to know that God is calling. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. Saved from separation from God. Saved from all that is evil in the world. And so we simply are called to invite Jesus into our lives. If that's you today here, or if that is you online, then we simply pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I need your forgiveness. And I believe today you died on the cross to take away my sin, to take away a way of life that is separate from God, and to fill me with your new life and your Holy Spirit. Lord, so I can not only live a life of love, but know a life of love. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen.